Today is Sunday Fun Day, right? It's a fun day, which happens about two or three times a year on the fifth Sunday, or the month has 5 weeks to it. We do it on the fourth week of that particular month. It's also why I'm wearing a Superman shirt, okay? There's no illustration, there's no point, other than the fact that it's Sunday Fun Day, so why not wear a Superman or superhero outfit? My name is Emmanuel. I'm one of the pastors here at Providence. I'm so glad that you are here this morning to worship with us. If you are an introvert, you're about to hate this, okay? But it's okay. It's good for you. If you're an extrovert like me, then this is another day of life. I want you to stand up, find someone around you, people around you, and take about 30 seconds. Why don't you share a time when you prayed about anything, whether it's something small, something complex. And when you prayed over, let's say, a month, over a year, over a couple of days, or even a few hours, the Lord answered your prayers. Share about that time, and then how did you feel when the Lord answered your prayer? Okay? About 30 seconds. Go. 30 seconds should be up right about now. For me, whenever I was in seminary, my second year playing flag football on a Thursday afternoon, I did something to my knee playing flag football. That evening, I went to go play pickup basketball without resting, because when you're young, you don't feel pain. You heal pretty quickly. Afterwards, the next day, my knee swelled up, was very painful. And what I noticed was for about 4 or 5 months, whenever I would play or run, my knee would swell, be painful. Took a couple of days off, get better, and that kind of continued over and over again. Until finally, my family and I went to a conference, if you will, that I didn't want to be a part of, but my mom made me. When mom says you got to go, especially my mom. And so I went to this conference, and during this conference, there's a part where we had to pray, and I wasn't feeling it. I was just like, why am I here? I want to be doing something else. And by the way, it was in Orlando. So I'm in Orlando. I want to go to the beach. I want to go to Disney World. I had to be at this conference, this prayer meeting. And I'm praying that, or people are praying all over me. And finally, I'm like, okay, Lord, my knee hurts. It's been bugging for several months now. Could you heal my knee? And guess what happened? Well, the prayer ended. My family and I drove back home. I got in a plane, came back to Denver. That next week, I played pickup. And afterwards, my knee got better. Right? And I'm like, they got to answer my prayer. So my feelings were more like shocked, right? Because I wasn't expecting God to answer that prayer. But it felt good that the Lord did answer that prayer. I've had moments, as you do, where you pray and God answers your prayer. And you're excited, you're thrilled, you're shocked. And it's praise the Lord type moments. I've also had moments where I've prayed and sought the Lord for something, and it's not answered the way I wanted to be answered. In fact, quick story, I had a buddy of mine in college. I graduated, so I'm here at Denver, in Denver. His name was LJ, back at the school that I attended. Long story short, he got an infection that basically spread, and he was hospitalized for a couple of days. I found out about it the night before he ended up passing away. But the night prior, I was praying with many other people. Here's a man who loves you, Lord, who wants to go and do great things for your kingdom. And we're praying for his recovery, and nothing happens, at least not the way we expected the Lord to move. And we were frustrated and sad and upset. Prayers get answered, and sometimes prayers do not get answered the way we expect them. We're continuing on in our Colossians series, where we are looking and seeing how who Jesus is and what he does, how it's greater than everything there is. All the ideas, all the thoughts that he provides us is superior to all there is. Last week, we covered Colossians chapter 3 till the beginning of chapter 4, where Paul dealt with some difficult things that we have heard in the past, have been abused in the past as well. It was a great time. I'm glad you guys were able to share your thoughts and ideas, how you felt from this passage. But I wasn't able to provide clarity to that particular sermon. I believe that clarity is kindness. And so for that reason, after service today, if you want to, no pressure at all, I will be in the war room after the service for about 15, 20 minutes. If you say, hey, I heard you say something that was troubling, or I didn't feel heard, or I want more clarity in what Paul has said there in that passage, find me in the war room. Simply go out this hallway, go straight, you'll see a glass room. I'll be in there. If people show up for 10, 15, 20 minutes, great. If no one shows up, then also great. I'll go grab lunch early at that point. But invite you to be a part of that if you so desire. But in that passage, what I did say is, Paul is saying essentially, hey, here are ways of us to live out what it means to be a Christ follower, which means having mutual respect for each other, caring for one another in a way that is radical from how the rest of the world does things. And when we do that, we embody Jesus and what he brings to us. Today's passage, Paul will shift from there and tackle and deal with prayer. With prayer. Since 2012, the number of Christians, again, not non-believers, but number of Christians who believe in the power of prayer has dwindled tremendously. Tremendously. And one of the main reasons why, because people who doubt the power of prayer have said, prayer does not do anything. They've prayed. They've asked the Lord to move. Nothing takes place. But in our passage today, Paul says, pray. In fact, in verse 2, Paul says this, devote yourself to what? Prayer. Be watchful and be thankful as well. He says, devote yourself to prayer. The language of devote here is essentially be persistent. Be steadfast in prayer. I've noticed that the government, when you want to reach them for something, you have a question for something or something about immigration, or you want to get documents, or you want to get your license renewed, they're pretty what? Slow. Extremely slow. But if they want to reach you, they're pretty what? Quick at it. And they're also very what? Persistent. You'll get a letter. If you don't respond, another letter. Then you'll get a call. You'll get an email. They'll come to your door. Right? They're very persistent. That's language here. Paul says be persistent, like the government, when it comes to prayer. Or think of kids, if you have kids. When kids want something, they're very what? Persistent. They'll keep nagging you over and over and over until they get what they want. So Paul's saying here, devote yourself to prayer. Be persistent. Be steadfast. Do not stop. Continue in your prayer. Now, when I hear this, what I hear is, I should be praying when? All the time. Sister Cheryl shared this morning from chapter 1 where Paul says, pray at all times. But then I'm like, wait, what if I'm sleeping? I got to get my beauty sleep on. I can't be praying when I'm sleeping. When I'm eating, when I'm working. When I hear this, I think Paul is saying I should be praying all the time. But is that what Paul is saying here? Is prayer different than what I'm imagining prayer to be? Right? Most of us view prayer as a practice. Right? So if you are Muslim, which I don't know if anyone is, but if you are, I'm glad you're here. The Muslims believe that prayer is an act that we do to submit to Allah. So for a Muslim, they will pray simply as an act of submission to Allah. For those who practice Hinduism, they would say, hey, prayer is an act that we perform to communicate with the gods. For the Buddhist, prayer is a practice that allows you to connect to the world around you. Right, for most belief systems, for most religions, we pray as a practice in order to achieve or to get somewhere. But for the Christian, prayer is more than a practice. I would say this, prayer is simply being with Jesus. When I pray, I'm not simply practicing something. I'm not simply doing something. Rather, I'm spending time with someone. That is Jesus. Prayer is being with Jesus. Now, why does that matter? Well, two brief points. when I pray, when I'm being with Jesus, how I pray doesn't matter. Whether it's breath prayer, where I take a deep breath and repeat a phrase and breathe out and say a different phrase. Whether it's prayers of sadness, lament, where I express how sad I am. Or prayers of anger, where I tell the Lord how I'm frustrated or angry about something. Prayers of confession. Popcorn prayers, where I'm simply just throwing out a prayer here and moving on. Or intentional times of prayer, I can pray whatever or however I can, because prayer is not simply about the practice. Rather, it's about being with who? Jesus. And here's the thing, I can pray, and God may not answer my prayer, which saying no is a what? An answer. God may not answer my prayers the way I want him to pray. It's okay, why? It's not about the prayer itself. It's about the time that I'm dwelling, spending with my Lord. Because prayer is about being with Jesus. So when Paul says devote yourself to prayer, what he's saying is, hey, as you're going about life, spend time, be with who? Jesus. Whether you're sleeping, be with Jesus. Whether you're working, be with Jesus. Whether it's intentional time, be with Jesus. When I was in seminary, I got to study James 5. In James 5, James says that prayer is powerful and effective. It's not powerful and effective because of the practice of prayer. It's powerful and effective because the one to whom we pray to is powerful. Prayer is about being with Jesus. So I would encourage you, can you create a habit in your life to where you maybe envision Jesus being with you, being present with you as you're praying, because he really is. One thing I do is every now and then I get in my car, I'm driving to and from, and I take time to imagine Jesus sitting in the passenger seat, driving with me, as I'm talking with them, sounding crazy probably to people who look at me, but communicating with them. And then I take time to just stop talking. And because of my study of the word, I say, what would he say to me? What answer might he provide me? Can we envision in our rhythms of life, whether in the car or in the closet or at the table or maybe even at work, where Christ is present with you? Because he is. But the question is, are we looking for him? In this passage, Paul says to pray. I can keep going and teach and talk more about prayer. But there's some things that are best learned, not by listening to someone talk about it, but by what? Doing it. So guess what? This morning, for the rest of our time, we're going to pray together. I've invited Sister Patty to come and walk us through how to pray together. We'll do it in different stages as a group. Again, if you're an introvert, I'm glad you were here, right? But this morning, we're going to spend time to actually be with Jesus as a group. Sister Patty, please come up and share with us how we can be with Jesus this morning.
So honored that Emmanuel asked me to do this. I get a little silly. I feel a little giddy about this subject because the older I've gotten, I've come to know more and more and more how real God is. Right? He's just real. Like, he's not this God that's afar off, right? But Emmanuel, thank you for leading us in this way. Boy, we are so blessed and grateful. If you don't know Emmanuel very well, but he is God's called man for us here at Providence. And we're so grateful that we get to be shepherded by him. So thank you so much for giving us this time to actually practice, when I know you have a whole lot more you can say about this subject. Okay, so I've got my timer here because we're gonna do some fun things and practice prayer. But before we do, I just wanted to emphasize just two things, and it's so interesting how God works. Ahead of time, he goes before us. There's already been prayer mentioned a couple of times. Joseph, when you speak and you pray, it's all been like it's a theme. God often does a theme in our corporate body, and I just love when we get to see it. But just two things. The first thing I want you to think about right before we enter into a time of prayer is that we can be very comfortable coming to God in prayer. Even though He is the great God of this universe, right? We have access to Him at any time. And the book of Hebrews tells us that we can actually even come boldly before the throne of grace. And this is because He has welcomed us to do this. He wants us around. He wants to hear from us, and He wants to speak to us. It's a desire of His. I love it because actually it goes way back to the very beginning. Remember in Genesis, he would walk and He would come and talk. He's been known to come and talk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. And He's been doing that ever since. He created a holy of holies. He created the temple where we can come and draw near to Him. He's shown His presence and His glory in a fire, in a cloud. He's constantly, consistently been showing humankind that He wants to be with us, and He wants us near Him. And so He does it now, too. He does that now with us. So what a great thing to know. On top of that privilege, to bring Him even in a little closer to us in our day and time. Does anybody know what God says that He will do when we draw near to Him? Yes. Yes. He draws near to us. He says that. He draws near to us in John 4:8. He says, "Draw near to me and I will draw near to you." Wow. It's amazing. Picture Him sitting in the car beside you. Or what about on the couch with you? I've had times of great distress in my life so many times that I have held an extra pillow, got an extra pillow just for me to hold close while I was sleeping so that I could feel that near to God. That's how desperately I needed Him. And He is that close. So picture Him with you. It might seem weird, but Jesus, who was God in the flesh, He did this. Right? He sat with people. He ate with people. He talked with people. He lived with them. We should be very comfortable talking to God because He lives with us. I love this truth, and I often say, Jesus and I, we live together. We live together. Because this is true, we could never, ever really be alone. And this is good news for this girl, and many of you know my story, that the abandonment that I experienced. This is really good news for me. Try to grasp this, maybe even in a new way today. In John 14:16-17, Jesus was teaching His disciples, and He said, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him. For He lives with you and will be in you." Who is this Spirit? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "The Spirit is the Lord." The Spirit is God, just like Jesus and the Father are God. As a born-again child of God, you and God get to live together. This is a huge and wonderful truth to grasp. So we can be comfortable when we come and talk to God with great reverence. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But comfortable because He has welcomed us and He's with us. The second thing, real briefly, I want us to think about as we come and pray together is to take God's word with you. Take Him at His word. We can talk to God about things that He's already said in Scripture. It's good to do this. It is good to pray God's word back to him, no matter what the subject is. Bring to him what you already know about him and what he may have already said about a subject. This is so good to do. We see the saints of old through scripture doing this, all through scripture. Listen to this quote from Charles Spurgeon as in a message to his audience. He said, "Oh, that you would study your Bibles more. Oh, that we all did. How we would plead the promises. How often we should prevail with God when we could hold him to his word and say, 'Fulfill this word unto thy servant whom thou hast caused me to hope.' Oh, it is grand praying when our mouth is full of God's word, for there is no word that can prevail with him like his own." I love that quote so much. God will never go back on his word. We can remind him of it, and there's no harm in doing this. So we are going to, in just a moment, we're going to huddle up, circle up in groups of twos and threes. No more than threes, please, so just because of our time limit. And we're going to take four-minute segments to pray and talk to God together around four categories. The categories are up on the screen here for us to see. Praise, thanksgiving, confession, petition, and submission. These categories are a way for us to practice together and pray together. And I'll be prompting you through each category, and I have my timer going here. So in your group, each two or three of you in your little group can take 30 seconds, maybe 1 minute, to talk to God about your own heart and your own life. And if you are not comfortable, all the introverts in here, if you're not comfortable praying out loud or in a group, no worries at all and no shame at all. You can just be silent and just let the next person go. Totally fine. This can be a time of observation for you and maybe learning. But if you're willing, this could also be a time of practice for you, where maybe you could even just say, you know, one short line out loud. It's up to you. But as you pray together in your groups, this is going to be on a more personal level. And then I'll end each segment with a short prayer regarding our church body as a whole. Okay? So let's go ahead and circle up just the person to your left, the person to your right maybe, and just twos and threes, and just circle up, and we're going to begin. Okay, we're going to begin our first category of prayer, and this is praise and thanksgiving. Let's give thanks to God for who he is and his goodness toward you personally in your group. Okay, go ahead. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Father, we praise and thank you for the way you love us and for the way you're with us. You've been so good to us here at Providence, God. Thank you so much. We are grateful for your great love and your care and your blessings to us. Amen. Our next category is confession. This includes confession and repentance of sin. Ask God to search your own heart and reveal any sin that you need to repent of, to turn from. The Holy Spirit will be faithful to reveal if there is something there. Don't live with sin in your life. It brings misery in so many ways. Let's confess. Father in heaven, your word tells us, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Please reveal sin to us, Lord, as a church here at Providence. As in the book of Revelation and your message to the churches, Lord, if there's anything that you're not pleased with here in our church body, God, would you please reveal it and forgive us? and cleanse us of it. In the name of Jesus. Now let's bring our petitions to God. Where do you need His help in your life right now? Ask Him for help with your needs and your desires. Ask Him to help someone else that you know is struggling right now. Father, you tell us in your word not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto you. So, Father, I pray for protection over us as a church family here at Providence. Our elders, our leaders, Josh and Katie on sabbatical, our families, our singles, our parents, our teens, our children, our building, and all that you've given us, God. Help us to love you, grow, and follow you faithfully. In the name of Jesus. And now in our last segment, let's tell God that we submit only to Him. God has given us free will, and He will never take that from us. We get to decide if we will follow Him or not every day. I encourage you to tell God that you bow your own will to His. Father, your word tells us, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. As a church, Father, we submit to you, our Lord, and your good will for us above our own. So, Father, we pray this morning in the wonderful, kind, very present name of Jesus, our Lord. And if you agree as a church, say amen. Amen.
We are going to have prayer team up front here for prayer if you will need prayer. I would like to say thank you so much for joining us today. As we exit today, if you are a guest, please drop off your connect card at the welcome table. Lastly, I would like to say that if you can help us to set up the auditorium for Spanish Expression that meets at 1 p.m., please see Brother Emmanuel after the service. We will be setting up the auditorium following the service. For the benediction today, it's taken from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Getting to it. This is an invitation that God is giving to you. It says, in verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. He's the King of Kings. He's inviting you to talk to Him. Please, let's go and talk to God. You are dismissed.